fundamentally, that's the exact process, because we are changing our child brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are going back and correcting our seven-year-old brain which we discussed before, got pre-programmed or pre-wired with everyone else's thoughts. And we assume them to be ourselves before we learn critical thinking, or actually had the capacity in our neuroprogramming to have critical thinking. And that's the same thing, is we are a child in so many ways. And it's the same process. We're still unpacking those things, and we're going back and just putting in the updated software that serves us now. So it's like, that is something that, like, the more I feel, the more I can take the pressure or the, blame. That it's not their fault that they're in the predicament, because they haven't been given the tools, the awareness, and the understanding of how they think, why they think, and what they think. And so, of course, they're going to come to these conclusions, reactions, decisions, and outcomes all based on this pre-programming, and they don't know how to reprogram it. They have to fight against it in their conscious adult selves, against the anchor, which they don't realize is there.
Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation.
Computer.
Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I say it every episode, and I mean it every single episode. I am so grateful that you're here. You make this podcast the tremendous platform that it is. I love those messages that you send to successfuldiligence.com/contact. Those voice messages by hitting the link below are simply incredible. And I am so glad you're here. Today, I am really excited. Get your notepad, get a pen. This is one you're probably going to be taking lots of notes, and you might want to be rewinding it and listening to it a second time, because today my guest is just that epic. His name is Luke Harlan, and he is a well-sought-after transformational mindset coach and speaker, freeing people from the common myths, misconceptions, and limiting beliefs, holding them back from becoming the best version of themselves and helping them to thrive in every area of life. Now, he's powerful, y'all. So I'm telling you, get your pen and paper ready. His powerful coaching and engaging speaking platform called Mindset Freedom empowers you to make the necessary shifts in your thinking to operate from a framework of self-awareness, accountability, belief, and alignment to your vision to achieve your goals with absolute clarity and purpose and direction. Now, Luke believes tremendously in the untapped potential and greatness that resides in every single one of us. Now, I can attest he is obsessed with helping people, those who are ready, those who want more for their life, to embrace and unleash their true potential. Now, he blends his creativity, his humor, and real-world experience with absolute candor and compassion to awaken, inspire, and empower his audience. Y'all, you can tell why I'm excited. Now, when he's not serving others as a coach and speaker and thought leader and general overall cool guy, he enjoys spending time with his teenage sons, being involved in his community, and keeping fit with weight training, running, and outdoor activities, hashtag goals. Luke, welcome to the show.
Wow, I want to get to meet that guy. That is awesome. Thank you, Michelle. I'm very excited to be here, and to your audience that's listening, I'm excited.
The guy I just introduced is amazing, and I want to amplify everything that he has to say. So for my audience who was like, Michelle, you're hyping him up. Who is this guy? Like, tell me more. Tell us a little bit about who you are beyond the bio, how you came to do the work that you do.
Oh, no, the great question. It's something that it's my story. I wasn't always the bio. I was my first client, if you will, in the process of kind of finding myself. There was a time in my life where I was stuck. I was just unsure of myself. I just didn't really know some directions. Things were good, but not great. And that's the toughest place to be, is when someone's at rock bottom, it's very easy to have a breaking point and saying you have to change because the pain is so great. But when things are just okay, you know, the bills are paid, things are being taken care of, there isn't a lot of pressure, but you still have that uneasy feeling that you were meant to do more, to be more. And I realized that when I was working with clients prior to becoming a transformational mindset coach, when in a prior industry, I realized that there are people who were like a duck to water and could just do anything just right out of the bat. You give them the strategies, the tactics, and they just would hit home runs. While other people weren't, they just kind of struggled. And I was really curious about why that was. But then I started to realize there were so many areas in my life where I was that second group. I was the one struggling. I wasn't hitting the home runs. I was hitting singles and doubles, and I was lowering my bar. I was lowering my vision. I was lowering what I wanted out of life to kind of meet that mediocrity and be okay with it. And when I started examining that, I said, no, we were meant for something more. I'm not delusional, please. You know, I actually aspire for some really incredible things. And I believe we're wired for that. We were created for that. And that started my path, my journey to investigate, how do I unleash the best part of me? How do I dissect and unpack my mind and see what's holding me back? Because what I started to realize ultimately at the end of the day is that I was the same person showing up to every area in my life. And that's the one thing that I hadn't changed yet.
That is so good. I'm sitting here taking notes. And if you're in the private Facebook group, you can see me. I'm like looking down, taking notes furiously, because you just in that opening, you said so much. You were talking about awareness, being curious, accountability, meeting the mediocrity. There's so much we could chat about. I have to, but I want to make it like as robust as possible for the audience.
Sure.
Who of is course. Like, okay. I too can relate to the fact that I'm aware that my life is good, but not great. And I want to get to greatness, but why do people find moving from good to great so challenging? What is it about that shift that people find really difficult to transition to?
Two things. One, we're taught to look outside of ourselves for the answer to the external things, the bells and whistles. If you're an entrepreneur, it's the shiny red button, it's the system, it's the tactic. If it's in personal development or let's say health, you're looking for the quick pill, the weight loss gadget, the guru. You're looking outside yourself for the answers. The second thing is fear, is that getting out of our comfort zone takes a tremendous amount of courage, because we have fear. We have fear of failure, letting ourselves down, letting our community down, being judged by others. It's an emotional head game. And most of us aren't empowered with the tools to understand how our mind works, how to overcome those fears, how to really start loving themselves, how to start starting their own self-beliefs, their own self-improvement journey. These things are the core foundation to thicken your skin, to create the courage, to go without abandon, to start taking control of your life, but they're not taught. And that's very, very unfortunate, because it is a skill that you can acquire. Some people are born with it, some aren't, but it doesn't mean that it's going to deter you from actually achieving your life. If you want something bad enough, you've got to be willing to change, but change is hard and does not happen overnight.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting that you highlight that it really is from the inside out, not the outside in, where the
absolutely
really is facilitated from. And it takes courage. I'm so glad you brought that up, because change is not easy for everyone. And we all seek out by default comfort, right? Our old reptilian brain wants that comfort and that
routine. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're also right. You know, we're not taught about the skill sets of the mind. So talk to me, what is a mindset coach? Like, do you teach people the tricks and the trades of the brain? Do you go science? Do you go emotion? Like what, like if I'm signing up for a mindset coach, what am I in for?
Sure. Yes.
Short answer.
Short answers. Well, think about it. Most of us aren't aware of how our mind works, or how our body works for that matter. If someone asked me, you know, where's my kidney, I'd have to go look it up on Google or something. It's the same thing, but think about let's say driving a car. Like if you don't know the basic, where's the steering wheel and the gas pedal and how an engine works to some degree, how are you going to be a better driver? How are you going to get to your destination faster or more efficiently? You're not, because you're just unaware. So as a mindset coach, some of our fundamentals is having people understand how their thoughts work, how their brain works, and what are the common pitfalls, how our brain becomes tricksters, how it gets in its own way. The natural evolution, as you said, in the reptilian brain, is that most people are unaware that we are actually pre-wired to not take chances, to not get outside of our comfort zone. And once people understand that, then the control starts coming internally, says, well, why is that? Oh, now I know what that voice in my head is saying. It's a trickster voice. It's not common sense or, you know, trying to rationalize not doing something. It is trying to keep me safe. But that's back when, like, if you did something different, you got eaten by a dinosaur. There are no dinosaurs. Most fears and actual threats to us are what we perceive to be in our mind. They're not real. So, but we create these fantasies that hold us back because our brain says, no, don't do that. So a lot of it is getting people to understand how their brain works, because once they understand the logic of it, then they can start applying the methodology. And overall, what I help our clients do is put them in a framework. As a coach, I am allowing them to discover, have the aha moments within a framework to start taking control, that accountability piece. And then they take ownership of their life. They challenge their beliefs. They set new goals, new visions, and their new identity that can achieve them. And then they go into an action phase of an intentional action. So there's 5 shifts that we take our clients through, and very methodically, and they all build on one another. So we create a framework for them to be empowered, for them to take ownership of that methodology that they can apply for the rest of their life onto anything that comes in their way that they say, you know what? I want something different. I want something more. I want something better, but I don't know how to get there. Wait a minute. I do know how to get there. I can now re-examine and verify and validate what I believe, or challenge and choose something that's going to serve me better. And then you just start taking that, what we call the locus of control back, and you start taking the steering wheel where you have 2 hands gripping it. And now you can direct your life from the inside out and not worry about the traffic in front of you.
I love that. And it's so empowering, and it sounds like incredible. And listeners, I know you're like, that's awesome. But let's tell the truth now, Luke. It's not that simple. It gets messy. The process and the journey is challenging and messy. It's not a straight line with a little bow on the package at the end of it. So let's go back to that first.
Is anything?
When you walk into an ice cream shop and you get an ice cream cone,
okay.
Your favorite flavor.
All right.
That's the only place I know, or a puppy, you know. But let me ask you this, because I want to go back to that first step, right?
Sure.
You mentioned about becoming self-aware, which
yes.
I reframe a lot as telling the truth. Like when you're aware and you're cognizant and conscious and present and mindful, you're telling the truth about your reality, as scary as that can be sometimes.
Sure.
Thoughts. Now, I've heard it said, I've taught it in one of my courses, that thoughts mm-hmm. are really just asking and answering questions in your brain. What do you think about that? What are thoughts?
Well, thoughts really, to some degree, are just the perception. It's the colored perception of the external that you're evaluating. Something happens, and then given your belief set, given what you know, your breadth of experience, or what you believe to be true, you give that thing a meaning, and that meaning are your thoughts. This is where it gets into trouble, because your thoughts aren't going to be the same as someone else's perception of thoughts, because you have a different belief system or a different set of fundamentals. Because remember, scientifically, what happens is there's an external stimuli. Something happens, and then you get a thought automatically. That thought's tied to a feeling and an emotion, and that goes against your belief set, and it washes it against what you believe to be true. It's going to assign something to that. And then it goes, you make a decision. And once you make a decision based on that belief set, wrong, right, indifferent, should I turn right? Should I turn left? Should I say yes? Should I say no? You have a decision, and then you take an action and you get a result. What people don't realize is that 95% of your daily actions and decisions are in your subconscious brain. They happen automatically. You don't think about it. They're not in your conscious awareness. So if you're doing something, if you have an automatic response, which is simply an ingrained habit or behavior, some are great, tying your shoe, driving, feeding yourself. You don't have to consciously think about putting the fork in your mouth or relearn how to drive a car each time. You do them, and we say that, we do that without thinking, because it's a habit. It's a behavior that's that we've ingrained over time, and that's great. But what about fear and hesitation? Or do we have a repulsion? Or do we get, a lot of times we hear now, get triggered over something, but we don't, but we automatically react emotionally to that stimuli instead of taking that pause and responding to it and having a sense of control. So that's where it really comes into play, is that self-awareness is identifying those behaviors that are automatic, that we're not conscious of, that aren't leading us to where we want to go, that aren't serving us, that are what we call sometimes knee-jerk reactions that either add gasoline to the fire or steer us in the wrong direction. Those are the one we want to bring to the forefront, because once we're aware of those, then I can help people with the tools and the tactics to unpack them, break them down, see the origin of the belief set, and then challenge and choose new beliefs, or validate or verify and validate the ones that stick. Like, hey, we're not going to kill anyone today. We're going to keep that belief.
And that is one that will serve you well, listeners.
Please. That is one that will serve you well, but there's others that don't. When, if you have an aversion to, and I know you and I have talked about it, if you have an aversion to rich people, let's say, or affluence or wealth, because you grew up in a poor environment, or you were taught that, money is evil, or you were only shown that people with money had bad character traits or were not good people, then when, now that's your young self, now your adult self is out there in the world, and you realize that, oh my God, money buys time freedom, it buys financial freedom, it gives me the ability to help others, it expands my impact, it's a tool to be used, good or bad is the user's prerogative, not money itself, it's just a vehicle. But now you want to make a lot of it because you want to help other people. You want to give it away. You want to use it to shelter your life, whatever you want to do with it. It's a tool. But subconsciously, you have this anchor and belief system that it's bad and that people who have it are bad people. So now your identity is tied to it. So without you realizing, your subconscious is going to safeguard you from ever achieving more success financially, because it's going to hold you back.
And your brain RAS system is going to look for evidence of that truth in the world, and you're going to follow after that and reinforce it.
You brought a great thing up for those who aren't aware of RAS, reticular activating system. That is your mind's GPS. Mm. We have this great global positioning supercomputer, and it's called our brain. And when we consciously tell our brain what to look for, it just goes on autopilot and starts looking for more of it. And that's a cool thing, because you're like, oh, you know, and we use this example 1,000 times, and I'll say it quickly because you've heard it, but just for the last time, if you want a red Honda and you're looking at red Hondas, and then suddenly you drive down the road and there's tons of red Hondas and everyone's talking about it at the water cooler, and you see ads for red Hondas, were they not there before? They were absolutely there before, but your brain had filtered them out as unimportant. Remember, we have 7,000 pieces of information bombarding our head a day. And if we tried to process those consciously, our heads would literally explode. We'd just sit there and drool all day. So most of it gets deferred or ignored, except for the things that are in survival mode or the things that we consciously put into our brains to be aware of. So when it comes to something like that, remember, what you tell yourself to look for, you're going to find more evidence of. Now, that's great when you're looking for successful things or opportunities, but when you have negative self-talk, when you get up in the morning and you spill coffee on yourself and you say, this is going to be a crappy day, and then all these bad things start to happen, you're telling your brain to look for more bad things. Or when you start a conclusion, like, all these people are bad, then you're just going to find evidence that that person is bad. And no matter what they say or what they do, anything that could compartmentalize and prove your case, that's all you're going to find. And then you get in what's called a negative feedback loop. And then all your brain is showing you is all the bad things. So you're going to believe it to be true. And that's a very dangerous place, because you're ignoring the good stuff. You're ignoring the balance and the unbiased filter of your brain. So that's where the RAS comes. It's a great tool, but it's also, like I said, it's a double-edged sword. It can save and serve you, or it can cut you.
Oh, I just love the way you explain that in a way that, listeners, I know you understood it. And if you didn't, click that little rewind button, because that was perfectly said. And what I love about your perspective and frame of explaining things is that you're highlighting the fact that, number one, the truth is we are extremely powerful, more powerful than we know, because we mm-hmm. have a superpower of choice. And it is Absolutely. Possible to retrain your brain to get the result you're looking for in life. And these tools and resources that, Luke, that you're talking about and that you work with your clients to implement are so powerful that it doesn't take you 20 years. You can do this.
No.
And that's where a coach comes in, because someone walking with you can point out your blind spots and help you navigate the terrain that's new to you, which I absolutely love. And I have to tell you, and listeners, you've heard my story, so you know, I've retrained my brain and I am the gratitude specialist now. I can find the good in anything. And Luke, before I ask my next question, I got to ask you, because I know that you came from the darkness and you are now in that overcoming, lightful, you know, powerful place in your life. Sure. Talk to me about if gratitude played a part in that, and if so, how?
Absolutely. I believe, and I've come to just embrace it more and more. Gratitude is literally the key to your happiness. Because if we step back and we look at why we are put on this earth for whatever reason, if we were meant to be alone, we would still be that single celled organism swimming in primordial soup, or however we were created. We wouldn't want community. We wouldn't want others to be around us, but we are connected. And so when I look at gratitude, it's just being truly grateful for what you have, not to say that you don't want more or better or to become more. It's just taking a pause and being grateful for your current situation, and having that gratitude is opening yourself up to happiness in the moment, which we try to push out. And that's really a dangerous thing, because so many people make that statement, I'll be happy when. No. When is a conditional statement. That when could never come. So you're going to be miserable until something happens, until I'm 80 years old and I'm a millionaire and now I die. Like, no, you have to, there is no past, there is no future. And this is where people get really caught up. The past is a locked door. We can't change it. But yet if we're burdened by mistakes, regrets, or things and sadness or sorrow in the past, we're going to be depressed if we're letting that rule our present. And if we're getting skittish and have anxiety and worried about the future, then we're ruining the present again on things that may or may not happen. We only have the present moment, which is living in the now. And that living in the now, that's where gratitude comes in. It's appreciating you wake up. Hey, I woke up today. High five. Are things perfect? No, things will never be perfect. And I think that's where we get in this mindset trap of being sucked into this binary system of yes, no, perfect, imperfect. There is not. It's how we feel about it ourselves. Am I making progress today? Did I do something better than yesterday? Am I aligned with my goals? Did I achieve something for myself? Did I help someone else? And I think gratitude plays a tremendous role in that because it keeps you grounded in the now. It's your placeholder to not get pulled into the past with negativity or into the future with anxiety.
I love that. I just love that, and completely co-sign and agree. And it really is about the meaning that you attribute to the stimuli that you're filtering every single day. And that superpower of choice, listeners, I'm telling you, it is such a powerful tool you have, and it's free. You don't have to go outside of yourself to get it. So now let me ask you this, because I know that your company, your platform is called Mindset Freedom, and it sounds amazing. What is mindset freedom? How does one achieve mindset freedom?
Well, I think we talked about it. We hinted at it when we said choice, and we talked about control. Really, mindset freedom is taking ownership of the thoughts in your head and slowing them down, and what we call separating the distance between stimuli and response. It's just creating that distance, that pause, when something happens, that we take that pause instead of having that knee-jerk emotional reaction, which a lot of times can put gas on the fire, which can increase or ask, you know, do that, you know, just make things worse. I was going to use a big fancy word, but make things worse.
We're not fancy schmancy over here.
Exacerbate. I was going to say exacerbate. Anyway, oh, that's a good word, actually. Yeah. So that was the word we were going to use if my brain functioned completely. But as far as mindset freedom concerned, it's taking back that locus of control, of making sure that you have the free will of choice of you determining how the external world affects you, and as opposed to it just being a victim of outside influence. And this is something that we help our clients with that choice. They have the choice. You have the innate way to free yourself at any given time. You just need the tools. And part of that tools are the five mindset shifts, starting with self-awareness. And that self-awareness is realizing that you can create a gap between stimuli and response, where you can make a choice. Instead of emotionally reacting to something, you can now take a few seconds and intelligently respond and realize, hey, you know what? That person cut me off. I briefly feel upset or angry or something like that, but I'm going to let it go because I'm not hurt. I acknowledge that I was scared. I processed that emotion, but what am I going to do now? I'm just going to let it go. And whether that person intentionally did it, was looking at their phone, maybe they're trying to get to a dying relative. You have no idea. And it's actually irrelevant because you got to control your emotions. So you get rid of it. You think about your positive day. What am I going to achieve? Who I'm going to show gratitude for, you know, all the great things, and you go on with your day. Otherwise, if you hold on to that and you react emotionally and you let it fester and you let it become toxic, you're going to carry around and you're letting someone else rent space in your head for free. You're no longer in control. And then what happens? You go to the office and you vomit it out on people, or even worse, you come home and you vomit it out on your family. They don't need that toxicity, that negativity. Don't be the super spreader, as they say, of that negativity. You can stop it. And it's the same thing with anything in life. And that's really the core of mindset freedom, is taking back ownership of your thoughts. Because once you control your thoughts, remember, your thoughts are going to wash against your belief set, which are going to create a decision to an action, to a result. So you are taking control at the get-go, and that's part of self-awareness. So that's really what mindset freedom is regardless of what's happening in the world outside, you're controlling inside. It's something like, you know, we look at, you know, statements from, let's say Nelson Mandela. He was in prison for all those years, yet he says he was completely free. Why was he free? Because in his headspace, he controlled that environment. He wouldn't let anyone else control that. And so that's just very, very powerful, is once you understand and learn how to achieve that and have that sort of control, your confidence builds, your decision-making gets stronger, your direction becomes more, you know, right on point to what you want to do. And you just have that power back. And the problem is too many people are giving their power away, or not recognize they're giving their power away, and letting someone else dictate what they think, how they feel, and what they do. And then that's not your life. That's someone else controlling your life. And no one wants that, but they haven't been given the tools to take that back.
So powerful. Oh, it's so powerful and so impactful. It's tremendous. I am so glad you're doing the work that you're doing. I want to sort of round things out, because if someone is learning these five points, and run them down again for those who are taking notes, what are the five pillars?
Sure. There are five shifts. There are five distinct mindset shifts that happen in order to achieve mindset freedom. The first one is self-awareness. The second one is ownership and accountability, where you take complete ownership and accountability of everything that's happening in your life. The third one is basically rewiring your belief set. And that's when I use the words where we either verify and validate what's serving us, or we challenge and choose new things that aren't. The fourth is when we set our new vision, our new North Star, something bigger than ourselves that we aspire to. And along that is creating our new identity, that Michelle 2.0. Because most people don't realize, as they are currently, they can't achieve those big goals. They have to evolve into that next best version of self, with those character traits, those habits, those routines, those beliefs and behaviors that can. So you get to challenge yourself to become that next best version. And then lastly, it's action, intentional action. It's putting it all together from theory to execution. And so we go through those five shifts. So you're now armed and ready, empowered, and have that aha moment. So then you can apply that to any area of your life that you're having that friction in. And when I say friction, that is really what it is. When you are doing something and it feels so hard, it's because your outward activity and your execution is grinding against a limiting belief that is pulling in the opposite direction. You feel uneasy, unsettled. Your mind is conflicting. It's saying, don't do this. You don't need to do this. But the other part of you that aspires to be better says, I want to do this. And then what happens when two equal forces pull on each other? You don't go anywhere, but now you've sucked all your energy out and you personally feel like a failure. And it just causes all sorts of discourse and chaos in your own head where it doesn't have it. You have the key. You have literally put yourself in your own mind prison, and you're working twice as hard instead of letting one thing go and aligning it. And when you're in alignment from your beliefs to your actions, you can achieve anything you set your mind to, because that's how we were designed to achieve greatness. And we see it every single day of people going from zero to whatever they succeed, you know, put their minds to. We have countless examples, but we're wired to tell ourselves we can't. And that's where you start saying, yes, we can. And then go through the program so you know exactly what to do and how to do it.
I love it. Behind me, if you're in the group, you can see it says, I will over my head. The other side of that, that was in 2020 and 2021, was I can. And so I am so loving what you are throwing down here, Luke, because yes, you can. And the witness to that.
It's on my wall as well. Right here, it says, I can. And it says, I can, and I will. It's literally about 4 feet behind my monitor.
I love it. That's when you know you're in alignment and talking with someone who will be able to walk that journey with you. And I love that. And so I want to go here for a minute while we still have a little bit of time, because I love this is an episode I'm going to listen to again. Listeners, I know you are just getting so much value. When we go through those five shifts, right? And it's similar to like the process of human development. I have a degree in human development where the baby becomes aware, and then you take control of your body and your systems. And, you know, then you choose make your choices, and where your mind goes, your behavior follows, and your actions and consequences then feed in and into that loop. But my question is this. So Luke, you've got someone who's stuck, they work with you, they're achieving the success that they have defined, they're attributing this incredible positive meaning to all of the changes, they're at Michelle 2.0, and there's still that knowledge of truth inside that says, you're not there yet, this is good, but you're not at great. How do I then go from good, things are working, I'm implementing all of these new strategies and tools, but I know that there's great inside of me. How does that shift happen?
Well, you're going to go back to the greatest thing about the, steps 1 through 5 is that you really end up going back to steps, 3 and 4 again, which is going back. If you really feel, okay, I've achieved, I've gone from okay to good. And remember, everyone's on a different timeline. You don't go from 0 to 10. You don't go from barely getting off the couch to running a marathon. You don't go from $1 to $1 million. It's an evolution process. There are stages. Think of software. You go from 1.0 to 2.0 to 3.0. We're in an immediate gratification society, and we have to delay that gratification to work on ourselves. But you can't go, it's like any school. You can't go from first grade to 12th grade or first grade to a PhD in a very short amount of time. So you're going to be repeating this process over and over again as you level up. Because remember, each skill has a different level. And if you're finding yourself pulled back, it's going to be one of two areas. One, I need to skill up more, create the habits. If you say, oh, I really want to make $10,000 a month, and you follow somebody and their procedures and strategies, and you start making $10,000 a month, how do I make $100,000? Well, you need to scale. You need to scale your skill sets. You're going to have to pick up, now you got to build teams and stronger businesses and do more marketing, maybe get into advertising in that realm. Or if it's losing weight, okay, I've lost weight. Now my body's able to maybe run and do harder movements and work out more and do more cardio. You're always going to be evolving. So there is no finite point where you get to your ultimate self. Our entire life is a journey of improvement. And that's how we come in from success to fulfillment. This is why we find in our lives, when we kind of hit that 35 and up, we're not as worried about finances as much. It's still a concern, or it could be a major concern. But for most people now looking for fulfillment, which is that impact on society. What am I leaving behind? How am I affecting and changing others? It's the me to we mindset shift. Everything's about me and taking care of my family. Now it's we as a community, how can I impact and have a life of significance? So back to your original question, we just go back to the process, because the process exists as a framework to always go back to. Because remember, you might be talking about Michelle 2.0 that does X, and that's your goal. When we get close to our goals and our vision, we reset new ones. We keep resetting and we create higher bars, like the high jumper. I can hit 8 feet. I hit 8 feet. Well, wait a minute. 8 feet's easy. I want 10 feet. I want 10 feet. Now I got to practice harder. I got to do different things. So it's just reevaluating where you are. It's not a knock on the process. You perform the process perfectly. What you're doing is your inner game is now believing in yourself, saying, I can do more. And that's the belief cycle.
Yeah. And I would argue discovering that best version of yourself that's been layered underneath all of the stuff that you've had to work through. So I love that concept that we never really arrive until we leave the earth, because for me, that's a belief that I have, is that we are ever evolving, becoming the best version of what we were originally created to be here on earth, which is tremendously, incredibly unique and impactful. And you're right, that legacy mindset, you know, there's a mindset of thinking that way.
Sure.
When I leave the earth, how are people going to remember me? Who did I impact? Because people don't care about your stuff when you're gone. They care the memories and the impact is really what matters. Oh, Luke, you are incredible. So I have to say this, listeners, I was proactive because I already knew and my expectation was high. My RAS system was looking for it. I knew that the value in this deep well of a person named Luke Harlan has so much to offer that we were not going to be able to cover it all in one episode. And I was actually reinforced and shown correct because this has been amazing. But Luke is coming back, y'all. I'm so excited. So hey, we will be back. We will dig the well even deeper. But for this conversation, Luke, what is it that you really want the audience to walk away with, remember? What are the highlights from our conversation?
I would just say, really what comes to mind is kind of like an MLK quote that I see all the time, is that you don't need to see the whole staircase. You only need to take the first step. And that's really... that's the courage and the fear that we have, is that we're a fear of failure, fear of being judged. And it's just taking that first step. It's that first step in a self-awareness of saying, hey, I've got a problem and I want to raise my hand and ask for help. And I think that's really where that's the courage. Once you do, you'll be so surprised. And you can see me on the thing, I get emotional about this because it is that first step is always the hardest because you're fighting so much baggage you've created in your mind. But raising your hand is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength to acknowledge that you don't know what you don't know and you need help. Everybody needs somebody. And when you open that door and you're open to receiving and being curious and putting away those fears and realizing that your dreams are on the other end of the community that you can get involved in, because people are waiting to help you. We are wired to help one another. We pick people up. We champion one another. We invite people in. We impart our knowledge and wisdom. We give them hugs and empathy when they need that. We support or even tough love. That is who we are. That's our intrinsic nature. So there are people willing and ready. Myself, Michelle, your neighbor is willing to take you in if you're willing to take the chance on just opening up and asking for help. So that is exactly where I would suggest people start, because then you just take that first step. All the how will reveal itself in time and the universe will meet you halfway.
Oh, I love that. Just take that first step. You don't have to see through the fog. You don't have to see the light at the end of the tunnel. If you just take that step, you will be supported. Oh, Luke, your passion is just palpable. I'm so glad we are connected. And audience, I know you cannot wait for the next conversation. But for those who are like, I need more before we get to that conversation, Michelle, because I am resonating with this man, his philosophy, his approach. I need more. Or even if you want to work with him, how can people find you? Where do they get more of all of this goodness?
Thank you. It's very simple. Just go to my website. And my website is my name. It's Luke Harlan.com, LukeHarlan.com. On there are resources. You can learn a little more about me, what I do, about the Mindset Freedom Program. Also, I put together a free masterclass. It's just a half hour, which goes over those five shifts to creating your best life. So we talked about it briefly and did some 30,000 foot overview. That masterclass goes into more detail. So you can just see what those individual shifts look like. And hopefully you'll have those aha moments for yourself. And ultimately, you have the ability just to schedule a conversation, a clarity call with me free of charge. I want to get to know you and understand where you're coming from. It's a great way to build my community and our community together, is just by listening to one another. And if I can help in any way through my content or through direct communication, I'm available and I'm here for you.
I love it. I love it. And listeners, you know, I hook you up. Links are in the show notes. I really encourage you to go and check out the website, take the masterclass, but more importantly, have a conversation with Luke. He is a heart-centered coach. He has also walked the walk. He's not someone who has just gone to school and read the theory. He has walked this out himself in his own life and has come out victorious. And so he can show you the path. You know, I always talk about you can't give what you don't have, and you can't have it unless you know it and have experienced it. Well, Luke is the real deal. He's experienced in his life, and that way can show you and walk with you in an effective transformational way. Luke, I am so excited. Number one, that we're connected because we cannot unknow each other. And number two, that you're coming back. And number three, that we had this time to serve the audience in such a powerful way. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're welcome. I'm so grateful to be here and for the audience. I just can't wait to come back and keep going down this road to see how many people we can serve.
And this rabbit hole goes deep, y'all, I'm telling you. So until that time, though, listeners, as I always say, keep walking, always, always keep walking, never stop walking, because if you continue to walk one step at a time, whether you can see or not, you will arrive at your destination. You will get to the end of the journey that belongs to you. And as always, on the journey, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. How do you know, man?